The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericaempowerment.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Mothers and daughters have one of life's most special bonds. Along with the trying times, can be some of the most wonderful times. Welcome to Communicating from the Heart, the Empowered Mother-Daughter Relationship. Your hosts are Elizabeth Lutz, Danielle Schoniker, and Melissa Schoniker. In the next hour, we will share some great tools with our listeners designed to help mothers and daughters grow into the honesty and openness of whom you truly are. Now, here's Elizabeth, Melissa, and Danielle.
Hello, and welcome to Communicating from the Heart, the Empowered Mother-Daughter Relationship. I'm your co-host, Elizabeth Lutz, and I'm joined by my two co-hosts, Danielle and Melissa.
Hello to see you again.
Hello to see you again.
Hello.
I was thinking I'm not going to say see you again this time because I never see them. They can only hear me. But hello, nice to be speaking to you again.
Hello. Welcome to the show. We're very excited to see you with us today.
I hope you can all hear us okay.
So what are we doing today?
Well, we have an exciting show tonight, so I'm going to introduce our topic, which is acceptance. And you might be asking yourself why we chose this topic, and we're going to kind of get into it a little bit more, explain it.
I was going to say, and if you don't like our topic, maybe you can move into acceptance, because that's what it's going to be.
Yes. And we're going to just talk about, you know, our overall feelings about acceptance, and then we're going to move into some samples or examples, I guess, you know, and sharings of times when we were in acceptance and when we weren't in acceptance. And then we'll probably end with discussing, you know, some of the challenges that we have, you know, as humans, I think, in general, accepting moving into acceptance.
Right? Yeah, I was going to say, spoiler alert, the times when we're not in acceptance, we're a lot more challenged and angry about it. And the times when we are in acceptance that we'll be sharing will be a lot more fun and joyful.
So. Right.
Yeah. And for me, I'll just start. What I think about acceptance is, for myself, it really is the key to peace. Because I can tell in any situation that I'm in, if I'm not in acceptance, there's an underlying unease. You know, it doesn't have to be like an overall, like, I'm so upset, you know. But I mean, there's an unease that's coming across. And I can always tell the difference then when I have a shift and I move into that space of acceptance, all of a sudden there's peace. And I just know, I know when the shift happens. And the hard part for me is getting to that shift. Sometimes I just don't want to go, and I don't know why, because it's so joyful on the other side. But
yeah, I almost feel also sometimes karma is kind of like a little trickster, you know, it's like, or I don't know if it would be karma, but just the universe. Like if I was planning a trip and I was like, oh, this trip is going to be awesome. The only thing that could make it not awesome is if it was raining the whole time, or, you know, like just being so in it, like, I just hope it doesn't rain. I just hope it doesn't rain when we're there. And it's like, by focusing on that, it's like, I bet you anything when I would get there, like it would be raining.
Deflect to our next vacation.
Yes, also. Well, because if it rains, then it rains. Then we'll just go play in the rain. I don't know. But it's like being so against something, you know, why it's happening or before it happens, I feel like just perpetuates the fact that it will continue to happen or it will happen. So I just feel like it's a little trick, like move into acceptance, get what you want.
Well, that's a good point. Are you kind of creating the rain in a way? You know, because you're like always saying, oh, it better not rain. You know, not that you can create the rain, but I mean, it's sort of funny. What comes first, the chicken or the egg?
Yeah, I think instead of doing rain dances, they should have just sat around praying for no rain. God, I just hope it doesn't rain. It'd be really upsetting if it rained. I don't know.
I have nothing to say to that.
I feel like those people would probably be offended by my saying that. Right?
It's a lot of dancing for nothing. You know, I would totally agree with what you said, Mom. Well, I guess both of you. Acceptance dances or rain prayers or whatever. And, Mom, kind of what you said about, like, it's just acceptance is the key to peace. Because I just think there's so much, in my experience, so much internal distress that I'm caused by being so against something that's reality. I mean, you can't fight with reality. It's reality. It's like, I don't know. What is it like? Like hitting my head against a wall in hopes that the wall will move. The wall's not going to move. You know, like I just got to stop hitting my head against it. Not that I do that, but
yeah.
But you know what I mean? It's like, it's not going to change. And just accepting that and stopping the movement, I guess, of banging my head against anything just causes that. That was a really bad analogy.
Well, it just sounds like a painful analogy.
Right? Yes. It is painful. Being not in acceptance is painful.
Yes, and my question is that reality or is that not reality? Because I hear what you're saying about, you know, when something is reality, whether or not you move into acceptance about it or not, but I think a lot of the non-reality, the upsetness and the playing it over in your head is what is causing a lot of the pain as well.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Completely, because it's almost like making it worse, like saying, you know, adding all the judgments on top of the actual, you know, issue or the actual whatever it might be, the actual thing that you're against. But then you're placing in judgments, you're placing againstness, you're putting all your energy into how upset you are about it versus actually moving through it, mm-hmm. you know, and maybe coming up with solves if it needs to be solved or...
Yeah, and all that energy that you're putting into that is all the unreal stuff in a way. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's all created in your mind. And so if you can move and shift into the peace part, I feel like you can solve and come up with a solution that's probably much more beneficial and more enlightened, I guess. Is that...
Yeah, like moving into acceptance can help you to see that maybe it wasn't even as bad as you might have thought it was.
Right.
Kind of thing.
Right.
Well, and I find that very often. If I'm in againstness or I'm not accepting something, when I'm in that position of being against it or not accepting it, I feel a lot of more turmoil. And then once I actually come to peace with it and I'm like, okay, this is what it is. What can I learn? How can I change how I'm approaching it so that I'm in a peaceful place? I realize in hindsight, like it's never as bad as I worked it up to be. Right. Or, you know what I mean? That perceived negativity or whatever, it's never as bad looking back at it.
Yeah, and I like that you said, too, like, and moving into acceptance and, like, how can I change how I'm going to approach it, you know? It's like, because I feel like so often one of the difficulties that people have with acceptance is, like, it's almost like they have a misbelief that it's giving up or it's, like, it's accepting something that is, like accepting something that's wrong in their eyes is like... losing on some level or like not living life correctly.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I hear you on that.
Okay.
And how about when I think of that, I think of behavior too, you know, like, oh, if I accept their behavior, that makes it right somehow.
Right. Like it's okay that this person always stomps on my foot every time I see them. Like,
right.
Or
yeah.
And that's really not what at least for myself, that's not what I'm saying about acceptance. Cause you know, I would move my foot.
Right. Exactly.
You know, but when it happened and it happened by accident or happened the first time, I wouldn't keep saying to myself, oh my gosh, he's going to keep stepping on my foot. He's going to keep stepping on my foot, you know, but if he does, I'm going to move it. I'm going to take action, you know, but I want my action to not be you're bad, you're wrong. It was awful. It shouldn't have happened this way. I want my reaction to be, you know, I'm taking care of myself and I have a preference and my preference is not being stomped on.
Yeah. So, right. Thanks for giving me an opportunity to stand up for myself and move my foot.
Right.
You know what that feels like.
Right. Yeah. You don't have to accept the action that is being done towards you, but you can accept the fact that it already has been done and let it go and then move your foot moving forward.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So to speak.
I think that's... I feel like that's the key to acceptance is it's just, I when I think about it, I like to view it as like I'm driving down the road and I'm in a car and I come up to a fork and it's like I can either go left or I can go right. But if I want to keep moving forward, you know, I can't keep going straight. I have to go right or left. And it's like there's absolutely no point in me getting mad at the fork. Like I can't believe you're there and you have me make a decision of going right or left. Like, it's not about the fork. Like, the fork already happened. I'm there. I have a choice. I can go right. I can go left. I could turn around if I want, but it's like not going to. Whatever I feel is not going to change the fact that there's a fork there.
Right. If it was a spoon, that would be a different story. Then you'd be pissed.
Then yeah. I just go, oh, right. Yeah.
Around in circles.
Around in circles, yeah.
Ovals,
donuts. Spoon donuts.
Never
I'm
heard
picturing
of a spoon
it as
donut
a very
before.
Large spoon.
Gotcha. No, I think I think that's a really, really great analogy or metaphor, which is...
I think...
Yeah, you're the English
person. Don't put me on the spot.
I know, it's one of those. But it's kind of like, goodbye. The reality is the road is split. It was split before you got there. It's going to be split after you're done. Mm-hmm. So it's like, and a lot of times, and I've done this in the past, where let's say I take a left. I would spend so much energy being like, why did I go left? I can't believe there was a fork. I can't believe there was a fork. Instead of paying attention to the new road that I'm on, the new path, the new direction, I'm still left in the past being upset that I even had to make the decision in the first place.
That's
yeah.
a good point.
Yeah.
You know?
Especially if you make what further down the line you might view as like the wrong decision. Like, what? Like maybe mm-hmm. you went left and it's not the route you wish you had taken. Then it's like, then it's easy to also get caught back in that fork. Like, well, if I didn't have to make that decision, then, and I think that's kind of just when self-acceptance come in. Mm-hmm. Like this is the decision that I made. There's nothing I can do about what I did already, but I can make a different decision today. I can approach it and show up differently right now.
Right, and I know that when you made the original decision, you did the best you knew with what you had at
yeah.
the time.
Yeah.
It's easy to make decisions after the fact, you know, when you see all the facts, you know, or think that you should have made a different decision.
Right.
But, I mean, usually when you made the decision, it was the best you could do at the time.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you know, along those lines is that I really realize that for me, it kind of shifts my perspective to just be like, okay, looking for my opportunity for growth. You know, in oftentimes that is acceptance, accepting what I can't control, accepting that I made that decision, accepting that I did the best that I knew how at the time. You know, but I mean, a lot of times it is looking for my opportunity, and maybe that opportunity is like, okay, I have the opportunity next time I make a decision that I perceive is not very well, not to be so judgmental of myself or not to be so hard on myself. And for me, that really helps me change the perspective and kind of bring me out of that, you know, anger or upset about something in the past
mm-hmm.
and move into acceptance.
Yeah. Well, that sounds like a good place maybe to break there, a natural break. And when we come back, we're going to share examples of when we weren't in acceptance and how it made us feel. And then we're also going to be sharing examples of times when we weren't in acceptance and how that made us
were
in acceptance. Yeah, when we were in acceptance.
Or we'll repeat the same thing over again. That sounds like
all
fun.
Right.
Well, you know, whatever happens, yes. I accept it.
Yes. You know, I accept the fact that you repeated the same thing twice.
All right. We'll see you soon.
Find out what makes the most successful people tick. Keep listening to the Voice America Empowerment Channel. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com.
At Heart-Centered Listening, we are committed to providing high-quality coaching, empowering you to reach a healthier and more fulfilling mother-daughter relationship. We have a consistent flow of coaching clients who sincerely want to heal and move toward a healthy, loving, and fulfilling mother and daughter relationship. We welcome you to share in the joys, sorrows, and experiences of one family's growth and learning. We support others in growing into love and support of oneself so that you can show up in the loving way that you would like in your relationships with others. Get answers to the questions you've always wanted to ask. We promise to show up each day in our authenticity and always be honest in our responses. You can call Heart-Centered Listening at 310-301-1850 Monday through Friday between 9 a.m. and 5 p.m. Pacific Time or visit our website at heartcenteredlistening.com. Mother-daughter relationship coaching with Elizabeth Lutz.
Isn't it time to open the door to your new relationship? HeartCenteredListening.com. Support. Healing. Transformation.
It's your world. Motivate. Change. Succeed. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com.
You are listening to Communicating from the Heart. We'd love to hear from you with any questions or comments you might have. Please send us an email to info@heartcenteredlistening.com. That's info@heartcenteredlistening.com. Now back to Communicating from the Heart, the empowered mother-daughter relationship.
Hello, and welcome back to Communicating from the Heart, the empowered mother-daughter relationship. I'm your co-host, Melissa, and I'm joined with my sister, Danielle, and my mother, Elizabeth. And before the break, we were discussing our topic for today of acceptance and sharing about, you know, why we brought this forward as a topic for a show. And now we're going to move into some examples of when we weren't in acceptance and how it made us feel.
Yeah. You want to go first?
No.
Or do you want me to?
You can go first.
Okay. I can go first. I can remember in my childhood not being in acceptance with the teasing that went on in our family. I grew up with six. There were six of us and my parents, so it was eight in the household. And my mother had like the best sense of humor. She was so funny. I mean,
she was,
and she was quick witted, and she was like a you know, Joan Rivers, Don Rickles, you know, which was not very fun when I was growing up. But I have to tell you, no one was off limits. I remember one time the priest came to the house and she's like, "Hey, father, I think, you know, you're enjoying that wine too much at, you know, communion and stuff." I mean, she would just, you know, let everybody and have it in a very jovial way. And everybody laughed. I mean, everybody loved being around her. But as a child, sometimes she would say things that would be very embarrassing, you know. And so it was really hard throughout my childhood to move into acceptance.
I feel like I'm in a weird position here. Like, do I agree and say, oh, yeah, I know
no,
how
no,
that
I'm just
feels. Oh, I mean, we've all been there. My mother, too. Man.
Oh, I thought you were talking about agreeing about grandma.
Because I was going to say, I feel like we all have parents like that. I feel like that's part of what parents are about, is embarrassing children. Yeah. I feel like when I have children, I'm going to purposefully try to embarrass them.
You would. Your poor kids.
You know, just to help them move into acceptance. Get a little lesson of maybe moving into acceptance.
Yeah. Poor kids.
Just kidding. I'm sorry. I feel like I got off topic.
No, I really didn't have much more to say about that, other than now as an adult, when I look back at some of the things that my mother had said that were jokes, I was pretty sensitive. I mean, I was very young and I look back and they were funny and they weren't meant to be harmful or mean-spirited. They just, you know, they were what they were. But I did not have those tools as a child. And I think most children don't have the tools of knowing, you know, how to move into acceptance for things like that.
So how would you encourage your former self in the moment? How would you support your younger self in experiencing this?
I would probably go listen to some Joan Rivers and get back at my mother.
That's acceptance.
Well, the jerk store called.
Yeah, I'll let it eat.
Well, I don't think I would do that because she would just love it because she'd be so much better than me. So, well, I think I'd encourage myself now is to just, you know, not take it personally and just know that it was meant to be funny and to make people laugh, that she didn't really believe a lot of the things that she said. And, you know, and it was coming, some of the things I can honestly look back and know that they were coming from her own insecurities, too. She just needed to make people laugh a lot, you know, and that was her way of being accepted. So, I mean, I think it is more the not taking it personally.
Yeah. I think that's huge. And I think it's just because I feel like that was something about grandma too. It was like she taught me that, you know, if it's okay to make fun of one thing, it's okay to make fun of everything. Because by choosing to, like, not make fun of one thing, you are separating it out. You mm-hmm. are, like, making it not all the same. Side point again. I feel like I'm making a lot of side points.
Those are valid side okay. points. Yeah. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Well, okay, so what's your main example?
Well, I mean, I don't really necessarily have a specific example, but...
I thought you were going to say you've never been in not accepted.
No, I accept everything all of the time. I accept that I have nothing to bring forward in this topic because... No, I'm just kidding. For me, one of the things that was difficult for me to learn how to accept was recently of not being in a relationship. Like, I've like had these like things, like misbeliefs and stuff that I've held on to, like, oh, well, if I'm not in a relationship, then it means this, and it means this, and then because, you know, like, just making up all these stories in my head, and then I was really like, well, that's just not fair, like, if, like, maybe it's not in my cards this lifetime to have, like, that kind of a relationship. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't, but, like, fighting that doesn't make me any happier, or... I don't know. And I think another challenge I had around that, too, was finding that balance of, like, moving into acceptance that if it happens, great. If it doesn't happen, then it doesn't happen. And also, like, showing up and inviting it, you know? Like, so not, like, moving into acceptance that it's not going to happen and then not still not doing anything about it, but instead finding that balance of being accepting of what happens or doesn't happen and also still, like, dipping my feet in and, like, and giving it an opportunity to show up if it does.
Mm-hmm. I can so appreciate that. I think relationship is one of the most difficult things ever, you know, intimate relationships, that, mm-hmm. you know, at least in my experience. And I kind of have experienced along those same lines of more of thinking that a relationship has to look a certain way and not accepting something that comes forward when it looks a different way. Does that make sense? Like for example, thinking like, oh, I don't know, total candidness, online dating, thinking I'm going to set these parameters for 30 miles, within 30 miles. And then it's like, you know, I'm not going to accept it if it's outside of those 30 miles because I'm putting that parameters and I think it's not, you know, and not even knowing, putting that limitation when it's like, I have no idea. Mm-hmm. Like if mom put that limitation on there, she wouldn't have met Emmett, our stepdad, when they met on a plane and lived, you know, 2,000 miles apart.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I hear that. But I also hear that, you know, what if putting that limitation could help you get closer to the one that might actually end up being like your next person. Like what if by not having that limitation, there's just too many opportunities you don't even ever end up seeing them.
Well,
I guess I'm just saying like there's acceptance on an overall level of just being an acceptance of whatever it is.
Well, and at accepting any time. Accepting your decisions.
Yeah.
Like accepting like, hey, I understand that if I widen my net, it could work, and if I didn't, then it could work too. You know, just accepting, being like, this is a choice that I'm making, I'm accepting it no matter what.
Yeah, and if yeah. at any point it isn't working anymore, you can
change.
You can change. Maybe make it 25 miles.
Right.
Maybe make it 40 miles.
I don't think
miles.
That's an option. I think it's 5, 25, and 50. That's it. That's it.
Oh, 25, 50. That's a big jump there. It's a big jump.
Man. I think that my biggest thing with acceptance, or I guess one thing that comes forward, is with work. And I know that I've experienced this in my past. And that's like when a higher up decision is made, and I know that it's coming down and it hasn't yet been put into effect, and me being like, that doesn't make sense. Why are they changing it? It's irrational. That's crazy making. And just not accepting the fact that, okay, this was a decision that was made. It's coming down. You know, it's going to happen no matter what. It's the reality of the situation. But yet I'm sitting here being upset about it, really. Mm-hmm. And I just notice, you know, half the time, if I know that it's coming down and I just sat in acceptance with it, it's not as bad as I think that it's going to be. Because oftentimes I sit there in my head and I make it worse and I'm, you know, future fantasizing that it's going to be way more intense than it actually is and it's going to have all these implications and, you know, just residing in acceptance and watching it come and just going with the flow, it's so easy and oftentimes very graceful.
Yeah, because it's the fighting it that makes it difficult. Mm-hmm.
And what do you do to help yourself? I mean, you asked me this question, not to fight that that upsetness or to move into acceptance.
Well, I think, first of all, it's a conscious decision. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not something that is just like, oh, well, if I just don't do anything about it, I'm going to accept. It's like,
that's a good point.
It's a conscious decision of I am going to choose to not fight this and just to allow it to happen and be able to look at it from an observer and learn from it what I'm going to learn.
Well, I think one thing that's really helped me move out of that pattern is to just be aware. Be like, oh, there I go again. I'm thinking that it's going to look like something and I'm already upset about it and I'm already against it, you know, but just being aware that I'm doing it and it kind of pulls me out. It's like a, it's like a shock, like, oh, there you go again. Let's yank you back, you know, then to redirect into acceptance.
It's funny too, as you use the example of work and something like a new kind of format coming into play. And it's funny because I have difficulty sometimes, or I've had feedback in learning from approaching it from another aspect. Like, I've been in my job for a little over a year now, and when I first started, there would be something that was already in play and I didn't understand it, and I would be like, why are we doing it this way? It should be done this way. And then I would like change it all and like do it the new way, and then I would realize that doing it that way like caused this and this and this to happen, and there was a damn good reason that we had it,
right?
That it was like in the first place that I didn't even think of.
I guess that's a
different variation of not being in acceptance and getting that feedback of, you know, like, you don't really know, you might not really know the whole story.
Yeah.
That's a difficult one, though. When do you go with the flow and when do you try to up-level it, you know, and is it okay to do both? And I think you can go with the flow and up-level when you can and listen to the feedback.
Yeah.
I mean, because you listen to the feedback and you realize that the changes that you implemented weren't as successful. So you hopefully you
went
back to the old standard
and
you keep pushing it.
And it's even like I could take my learnings from that and like apply that to what's already in place. So maybe, you know, like it was like a little bit of a compromise, you know, like up level it all completely instead of changing.
And the key there is that you learned from it.
Yeah.
You took it and you applied it to next time, what you learned this time.
Yeah.
All right. I think that's a good time to take a break. And before we go, I'd like to invite you, the listeners, to join in our conversations, either by calling us or emailing any questions or comments you have. You can email us at info@heartcenteredlistening.com or visit our Facebook page at Heart Centered Listening. This is Danielle, Elizabeth, and Melissa. We'll be back to you shortly, and we'll continue our examples and then move into times where we were in acceptance and how that alternately made us feel. We'll be right back.
Find out what makes the most successful people tick. Keep listening to the Voice America Empowerment Channel. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com.
At Heart Centered Listening, we are committed to providing high quality coaching, empowering you to reach a healthier and more fulfilling mother-daughter relationship. We have a consistent flow of coaching clients who sincerely want to heal and move toward a healthy, loving, and fulfilling mother and daughter relationship. We welcome you to share in the joys, sorrows, and experiences of one family's growth and learning. We support others in growing into love and support of oneself so that you can show up in the loving way that you would like in your relationships with others. Get answers to the questions you've always wanted to ask. We promise to show up each day in our authenticity and always be honest in our responses. You can call Heart Centered Listening at 310-301-1850 Monday through Friday between 9 a.m. and 5 p.m. Pacific Time or visit our website at heartcenteredlistening.com. Mother-daughter relationship coaching with Elizabeth Lutz. Isn't it time to open the door to your new relationship? HeartCenteredListening.com. Support. Healing. Transformation.
Create your world. Motivate. Change. Succeed. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com.
You are listening to Communicating from the Heart. We'd love to hear from you with any questions or comments you might have. Please send us an email to info@heartcenteredlistening.com. That's info@heartcenteredlistening.com. Now back to Communicating from the Heart, the empowered mother-daughter relationship.
Hello, and welcome back to Communicating from the Heart, the empowered mother-daughter relationship. I'm Melissa. I'm joined with my co-hosts, Elizabeth and Danielle, and we were briefly talking about acceptance before the break. We were talking about times that, you know, we weren't really in acceptance and the what feedback and what did we learn from that and how did we learn we want to move, how to move more into acceptance. And we're going to now kind of go into more examples or examples of how we were in acceptance and how that made us feel and how much easier and graceful it is
yes.
moving into acceptance. So specific examples coming, but before we bring those forward, is there anything else that you two wanted to share about not being in acceptance?
Yeah, I mean, you kind of hit the nail on the head before we left, and this was specifically towards the example of work and not being in acceptance, but or getting feedback. And I think the most important thing is to learn. You know, every person's situation is different. Every different instance in that person's situation is different. Nothing is ever going to be the same, but there are similarities, and you can use what you've learned, you know, and apply them towards the future. And it really is use everything for your growth and upliftment.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I agree with that.
And that includes in relationship to acceptance. If you see it one time like, hey, I don't really feel like I was accepting myself fully in that moment, use that. You know, so that next time you're in a similar situation, that pattern, you can shift it. You can be aware of it and shift it.
Yeah, I have an example of that. I remember going when I was applying for law school. For some reason, I read the application date wrong. And so I was not accepted on the date that I thought I was applying for. Mm-hmm. And so I had to wait another semester. So it was like devastating to me because I, you know, did everything I needed to do, thought everything was done. And I remember, you know, hearing I went to the law school and I was talking to somebody and I just could feel the tears coming because, you know, I was going to, I just had it all planned out. I had sitters for you guys. I had everything all planned out, and I thought I'd start that semester. And so I left being very upset, very mm-hmm. upset, just like everything's ruined. My life is ruined. Everything's on hold, you know, and I, you know, it was not that long of a time period. But what was so amazing, when I started to move into acceptance, when I started to realize that there's nothing that I could do about it, so what can I do to benefit myself? And so one thing, you know, I had the babysitters lined up. I could work full time all that time and get, you know, more tuition money, you know. So I started putting together lists. But the amazing thing that happened when I moved into acceptance is the law school called me and they said they're starting this new program where, you know, for non-traditional students. So you could take two of the courses, you know, right now in the summertime before, and then the other three, because you usually take five classes, you know, and then you have one final at the very end. And so I was able to take two courses in the summertime, and it gave me such a head start in law school because I was always, I could study, but in law school, you really need to study. So it really gave me discipline, and I ended up being with these two women that were close to my age, that were really good students, and it really helped to structure my whole law school experience, you know? So it was like, I am so grateful that I didn't get in the way I wanted to get in and the timing that I wanted to get in, because I'm not certain I would have made it because the universe set me up for that added support. And then I was just, you know, ready to go, and I did very well. But I'm so grateful that I didn't get in the way I wanted to get in.
Well, that's why the saying hindsight's 20/20 is there. Mm-hmm. It's so true. I mean, in my life, there's times where I have assumed that I've made the wrong decision or something hasn't turned out the way that I thought it was. And it always turns out that when I look back at it, I'm always grateful for it happening the way that it did. I would say like 95% of the time, and the other 5% of the time is because I'm still working on acceptance of it, but I'm sure that there's a reason.
That's a good point, because if I just sat there and was beating myself up the whole time saying, oh, I can't do law school, I'm so stupid, I can't even make my application in on the right date, you know, how in the world do I think I'm going to get, you know, that kind of, if I just sat there and focused on that, yeah. I wouldn't have had the creativity to do the other things, you know, I wouldn't have had the right energy, I don't think, and all of a sudden everything just lined up and fell into place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And maybe it was even your intuition, like, doing it for you, you know? Like, maybe you really did set yourself up.
Yeah, could have been. I'd like to give myself credit for that one.
Right. Either way, you're accepting it.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like that's just such a huge thing, kind of, is also to accept that we don't know what's best for us in the grand scheme of things. I mean, we know what is supportive of us and like what makes us feel good, but it's like, as far as what happens outside of us, we don't know why it happens. We don't know what the purpose of it is. And I feel like that's the big thing in moving to acceptance is just accepting that maybe this is the beginning of a road that you're going to be really happy that you're going down, but you just don't know it yet.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. For me, I think with acceptance, the biggest challenge is anytime I feel like anytime I feel resistant or not in acceptance, it's usually when I feel a loss of control.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'm really aware that this is one of my patterns. I like to have things, you know, everything in its place. I like to, you know what's going to happen, and I like to. It really is kind of the master addiction really is control, and I know that this is something that, and I accept that this is something that I need to work on in myself. But what really happens is, let's say I have something plotted out, like I know this is how my week's going to go, and I'm going to go to work this day and this day and this day, and all of a sudden something will happen. And it just throws things off, and I feel out of control. And that's what I know for me, my trigger of not accepting it is I feel like I'm having to grasp and get that control back. And in all reality, if I just accept the fact that, okay, I cannot lead this a certain way, I just really have to sit back and go with the flow and really find out what's actually going to happen. I can't make something happen. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, once I'm able to just accept the fact that I can't control, I'm just...
Yeah, and what comes forward for me, too, is kind of like... I feel like loss of control is belief of like losing power, or like, mm-hmm. then you don't have power over what's happening. And it's, I actually think giving up into acceptance and just moving into like surrender is even more empowering. Like what's actually empowering.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's what makes acceptance for me so, so amazing, is because when I do surrender into that, when I do, you know, give over to that acceptance, it's really, I feel loved, I feel peaceful, I am gentler with myself, you know, there's not all these judgments running, and it's just a more serene space to just really live in.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. One of my examples is, and it started out as a serious challenge for me, and it was like it was a pattern that happened. When I first moved out here, I mean, I feel like I've moved like 12 or 13 times, and I've only been out here about 8 years. And a lot of those times, it was things that I felt were like beyond my, like that somebody did to me, or like something happened with my roommate and I had to move. And then like this happened too, and then I had to move again, and then like this happened, and then I had to move again, and it was like I was getting into a place of just like, it was like every time that I had to move and find a new place, it caused like, so it was like, you know, because moving is one of the biggest stressors in life, you know, so it's like having to pack up, find a new place. And I remember when that whole process first started, I would get really angry and upset, and it was like I would pick a place not because I was looking at it as an opportunity to get something better, but looking at it as like, oh, now I have to do this, and now I have to find this, you know? And when I started moving into that, letting go and just accepting and viewing it as an opportunity instead of like something that happened to me,
then I wound up eventually where I am now. And I don't know that I would have ended up where I am now had any of those other moves happened. Like, what if my first roommate and I, like, still kind of got along and, like, we might still be living together and I might not have, like, the amazing place that I have now that I'm, like, in love with.
Your first roommate out here was me.
I know. Thank God.
I mean, you're
so
second,
happy of what happened
your
with
second
that
roommate out here. Like, wait a minute.
So I have a question for both of you guys. Now, we do move into acceptance eventually, like your stories and my story. And my question is, why do you think it's so difficult when we know the peace on the other side? I mean, why do you think it's so difficult for people to move into acceptance, you know, quicker?
Well, I think it's because of anything. It's like, it's hard to trust that it does feel better. And it's only something that you cultivate. Like, the more you do it, the more you see and feel, like, the way that it feels to be in acceptance. And it's like, it becomes a deeper inner knowing. And then it's just easier every time because you have that experience.
Yeah, it is like
and
a
that
muscle.
Faith and that trust.
Mm-hmm. I so echo that. And it's just the trust and surrender. It can be frightening. Because it is really trusting in the unknown, trusting in the you know, being not sure. But it is trust and surrender, and that definitely, you know, needs to be learned.
Yeah. Also about moving off of your positionality, too. I think there's a little bit of that. Sometimes, you know, you want to stay in the story, or I shouldn't say you. I mean, people in general want to stay in the story and the right and the wrong. And if they move into acceptance, maybe there might be a little bit of that going on as well.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's if you are moving into acceptance, it is kind of tied to taking personal responsibility for the part that you're playing in it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You know, being like, okay, this is so difficult because I am also being so against it, you know. There's a lot of power in that. But let's just take a break right there, and we'll come back and you know, touch base on that positionality and stuff. But when we come back, we'll wrap up this discussion, and then we'll move into our segment, our favorite segment, One Question and Three Responses. This is Communicating from the Heart, the Empowered Mother-Daughter Relationship. Remember, if you'd like us to respond to your question, especially for this segment, you can email us at info@heartcenteredlistening.com, and we look forward to seeing you when we get back.
Find out what makes the most successful people tick. Keep listening to the Voice America Empowerment Channel. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com.
At Heart-Centered Listening, we are committed to providing high-quality coaching, empowering you to reach a healthier and more fulfilling mother-daughter relationship. We have a consistent flow of coaching clients who sincerely want to heal and move toward a healthy, loving, and fulfilling mother and daughter relationship. We welcome you to share in the joys, sorrows, and experiences of one family's growth and learning. We support others in growing into love and support of oneself, so that you can show up in the loving way that you would like in your relationships with others. Get answers to the questions you've always wanted to ask. We promise to show up each day in our authenticity and always be honest in our responses. You can call Heart-Centered Listening at 310-301-1850 Monday through Friday between 9 a.m. and 5 p.m. Pacific Time, or visit our website at heartcenteredlistening.com. Mother-daughter relationship coaching with Elizabeth Lutz. Isn't it time to open the door to your new relationship? HeartCenteredListening.com. Support. Healing. Transformation.
It's your world. Motivate. Change. Succeed. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com.
You are listening to Communicating from the Heart. We'd love to hear from you with any questions or comments you might have. Please send us an email to info@heartcenteredlistening.com. That's info@heartcenteredlistening.com. Now back to Communicating from the Heart, the Empowered Mother-Daughter Relationship.
Welcome back. I'm Elizabeth, along with Danielle and Melissa, and this is Communicating from the Heart, the Empowered Mother-Daughter Relationship. And we were just wrapping up our discussion about acceptance and why we think it's difficult to move into acceptance. And also, we kind of were touching base on how come we think it's so beneficial. So is there anything you guys would like to add?
Well, I want to touch upon, Danielle mentioned kind of at just before the break about personal responsibility. And I feel like that is also just a huge reasoning behind how it can be tough to move into acceptance is accepting that whatever, like that you led yourself to wherever you are and you're going to lead yourself to wherever you're going to go next, and to just be accepting of your own journey, you know, like to not judge yourself for decisions that you've made in the past that you might have viewed as wrong, and to not beat yourself up about decisions that didn't turn out necessarily the way that you had intended, and just always be looking forward instead of backwards. And I feel like that's also what acceptance is, because it's really letting go of whatever you think happened before and just allowing each day to be a new day.
Yeah, and you know, that's a good point that you touched on too. And there's this famous psychiatrist that said, Scott Peck is his name, and he said the difficulty we have in accepting responsibility for our behavior lies in the desire to avoid the pain of the consequences of the behavior.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that really is like what the personal responsibility, because you really have to go in and you have to say, you know, what was my part in this? How did my behavior?
Yeah, and you can, and we can all choose to be gentle with ourselves in that process. Right. We don't have to make it as hard as it can be.
Right.
Know?
And I think once you touched on this, once you start to do it more and more, you realize that as long as you're being gentle with yourself, like I said, when I went to law school, I could have sat there and beat myself up for getting the date wrong and everything, but I just didn't have the time to move into that. And so if you just don't allow yourself the time to beat up on yourself and move into the acceptance and move through what you perceive or may perceive, a lot of people perceive, you know, the pain, but it really, it's not as painful as you may think.
It's well, and most of the time that pain is self-generated. It's judgment.
Yes.
You know, it's like, oh, I'm, like you said, beating yourself up. Mm-hmm. Like, I did this wrong. You are causing yourself your own pain. It's like when you take personal responsibility, you just have to let that judgment go, accept that you made that decision, and it ends up being, you end up being feeling more empowered. You are more empowered because you're actually taking back power of how you're going to respond in that situation. You know, instead of saying, I'm acting this way because of so-and-so, you're giving people out there your power.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You're affecting me. But it's really, no, I'm allowing you to affect me. Mm-hmm. And therefore, I'm going to not judge myself for that and just make a decision that I'm not going to let it affect me anymore.
Right. And, you know, it reminds me of a quote from Mother Teresa, too. But I would apply it to yourself when you're going to. But she always would say, if you judge people, you have no time to love them. So I think the same is true. If you're sitting there judging yourself, you don't have time to love yourself.
Oh,
you don't have time to,
yes,
to move into that. And I think you need to be in that loving place to move into the acceptance and just don't judge yourself.
I think that we would all agree that acceptance can be one of the most challenging.
And the most rewarding.
And the most rewarding. Yeah. Absolutely.
Great. So should we move on now to our...
I'd love to hear what the question is for this week.
Okay, it's the one question, three responses. So here, this question is from Madison, who's 12 and lives in Idaho. And she writes, I hate my little brother. He's a huge jerk to me, but my parents don't ever see it. How do I convince him that he needs to be nicer to me?
Do you mind if I go first?
I hear you, Madison.
Okay. That is exactly what I was going to say, because I have experience with that. But really, what I would say to you is your languaging, first of all, just how do I convince him that he needs to be nicer to me? I feel like it's kind of what we were talking about before, is saying that you're allowing him to make you feel that way. So what I would encourage you to do is take a minute or however long you might need, be by yourself and just close your eyes and think about what you want the relationship to look like. What do you want, you and your brother? How do you want to be? What do you want it to look like? How do you want to feel? And then after you get a clear answer to that, after you have kind of a clear idea of like your ideal relationship and how much fun it could be, how joyful, how loving, look at how you see yourself showing up in those scenarios and maybe just try to do that. Just try to be that from the beginning, you know, just give it, experiment with it a little bit and see if you can show up the way that you want the ideal relationship to look like, even if your brother might not be at this moment.
Well, and I, you know, kind of along the lines of what we were talking about earlier about giving your power away, I just really also encourage you to, Melissa and I didn't always get along. We get along great now, but there were trying moments and we weren't always the nicest to each other. And that's I remember true. Oftentimes when Melissa would say something that hurt me, it was really because I believed it. You know, for example, you know, like she...
And oftentimes I didn't really believe it, but right. I would just say it because to I knew me. That it would yeah. hurt you.
Yeah. For like example, you know, this is something not that important, but she'd be like, that shirt looks awful on you. And I'd be like, oh, that shirt does look awful on me, and take it, internalize it, and really realize like she was just saying it to not be nice. But it was, I kind of, part of me believed it. So I needed to work on that. And I needed to be like, you know what? That's not true. I like this shirt. It looks good on me. That's why I chose to wear it today. You know, and that kind of took away the power. You know, because you can't always control what the other person's going to do, but you can control how you receive it.
Or the reasoning for other people doing what they're going to do.
Right.
Because maybe the only reason your brother shows up that way is because he likes to see your reaction. And it's like, if you stop reacting, there's going to be no reason for him to show up that way. That's because you're so not reacting true. The way that he wants you to.
And if you figure this out, can you tell me how? Because I am still working on that.
And Madison, too, the other thing that I would look at is just communicating with your brother, too. So if he does say something to you, I don't know how you respond to it, but if you go in your room and close the door and just say, you know, I'm never talking to him again or something like that. Melissa kind of touched on it. Take your power back and just, if he says something to you, have him clarify it. Just say, you know, what did you mean by that? And you know, were you intending to hurt me? Or, you know, I mean, put it back on his, you know, ask him, just ask him. And sometimes you may be totally amazed because he may not mean at all what you think he means.
That's true.
Because a lot of the communication is happening oftentimes in your own head. Because he might say, oh, that's a blue shirt or something. And you're like, oh, he hates blue and he thinks I look ugly in this and everything. And all he meant was, it's a blue shirt, you know. So, and I'm not certain if that's happening or not. But I mean, just communication, I think, is one of the hardest things, especially when you're younger, because, mm-hmm. you know, you'll hear a communication directed at you and you might assume things that he means by them. And so, you know, open up the communication and take the power back. And
I think that's a very valid point. And I just want to say, you don't always have to respond. Like a response is not always necessary. Like even if you're upset or the person's asking you a question, if you don't feel ready to respond, don't respond. You don't have to.
Yeah, a lot of great feedback there. Three kind of different and I think very valid responses. So.
Yeah,
I would agree. And oh my gosh, it's about time to go. This was a super fun show. I feel like we could talk about acceptance forever and ever.
Yeah, but we can't. And so please join us next week. We'll have a very special show. It's a surprise and you don't want to miss it.
Yeah, and this is your ever appreciative co-host, Elizabeth Danielle Melissa. And we look forward to talking with you again next week at 5:00 sharp. Have a safe and great week. And remember, you can have the relationship you've always wanted.
Thank you for joining us this week on Communicating from the Heart. Please tune in for another edition with mother-daughter hosts Elizabeth Lutz, Danielle Schoniker, and Melissa Schoniker next Tuesday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 5 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. We can't wait to share more with you next week.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Empowerment Channel.
For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit VoiceAmerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.